said, I'm Emily, and before we get stuck in, I'm just aware that there's some new faces or some old faces with no names attached to them for many or all of us in this room. So we're going to just take 5 seconds to introduce yourself to the person next to you or behind you. Say, hi, I'm Emily, except insert your name. Go. Wonderful, fab, lovely. That will make, when I get you to chat in little groups later, slightly less awkward, but feel free to introduce yourself again because many of us won't remember names from one moment to the next, so keep introducing yourselves. It is an absolute delight to be back. Yes! So we have had no formal gatherings over August, and so it's wonderful to be back gathered together now that it's September. But I feel it especially acutely because my husband and I, Daniel, we lead this church, and we've just come back from a 3-month sabbatical, so a time off from leading church, which was just great. It was a real privilege. But it's genuinely even greater to be back and even more of a privilege to be back. It's just a joy, and we have missed being here every Sunday, really sincerely. So thanks for having us back. One of the things that we did whilst we were on sabbatical was we did a little bit of traveling. Thank you, absolutely. We took the kids out of school for a couple of weeks, and we took a load of trains around various parts of Europe. It was insane, once in a lifetime thing. Absolutely glorious. And one of the countries that we went through was Italy. Now, Italy has absolutely been on our wish list for over a decade, I don't know, since ever. And so we were really, really looking forward to training through the west coast of Italy, and it did not disappoint. It was amazing. There were beautiful people, beautiful food, beautiful cities, beautiful countryside. Yes, it was just the best. But one thing that was particularly noticeable whilst we were zooming through the countryside was that there was mile after mile after mile of vineyards. These kind of neat rows of vines that were heavy with grapes or preparing to be heavy with grapes. I've got some, oh, there you go. That's not from our trip. I wish that would have been good. Thank you. Thank you, Google. Drone footage of vineyards. And it was just mile after mile of vineyards, these neat rows preparing to be ready for wine. And so, obviously, naturally, the combination of being on sabbatical and moving through field after field of vineyards got us thinking about this lovely little community, Gloucester Vineyard Church. And just thinking about what it means to be a vineyard as a church. And so I thought, what better way to kickstart the term than to have a little look at this? Just to caveat, we are part of the Vineyard movement of churches. And although there are certain characteristics and ways that kind of define being a Vineyard church, part of the Vineyard movement, we are not going to be looking at that today. You can go and check out Vineyard Churches, UK and Ireland websites if you're interested in the Vineyard movement type things. I thought today we would simply ask ourselves, what does it mean for a church or a people to be like a vineyard? So, I thought we would start with a little shout out to me. What is a vineyard? What happens at a vineyard? Tell me literally anything you can shout out or think of, a word or a phrase to do with vineyards. Wine. Wine, yes? Grapes. Vines, fruit, fruitful, farming, pruning, growth, fermentation, pardon, drunkenness, huh? Supporting wires, order, old and gnarly, bottling, bit of marketing in there probably, connection. Is that what you think of when you think of vineyards? I like it. Just anticipating all of my points. can see where this is going, can't you? Thank you. Well, I think it's fair to say that the main purpose of a vineyard is to produce grapes, right? People who are in a vineyard, they grow grapes and then they do whatever they want with it, usually make wine. And the farmer's job is to maximize that yield to produce the largest amount of quality grapes. And so the farmer does this to form the vineyard into straight lines to support and encourage and prune and form healthy branches that produce as much healthy fruit as possible. And this idea of formation is certainly something that I have been thinking and reading a bit about over the last few months. How we as people are always being formed, and we will always produce something of some sort, some fruit of some sort, whether we're aware of it or not. Whether we are trying to or not, there are things, people, films, music, society, opinions, expectations that are constantly forming and shaping and moulding us. And thanks, I agree with your agreement. All of these things will form us and produce some sort of fruit because formation is constantly happening. My career in nursing has produced compassion in me and a really dark sense of humour. Like a recent podcast series that I listened to, unwittingly produced in me anxiety and nightmares because of its content, so hence it being half a series. Social media is really wonderful. It produces in me joy at seeing what my friends and family are up to, but it also can produce in me a bit of a boasty side or a discontentedness kind of born out of comparison. We are all always being formed by something somewhere. And one of the things that church communities like this one claim is that we are, or we want to be, formed by Jesus. How he lived, what he said, what he did. We claim that we want to be formed and shaped by him. And so, I thought we would have a little look at what he has to say. Because, would you know it, Jesus talked a bit about formation and used vineyards quite a bit in his illustrations and teachings. And so I thought we would look at a little key bit today from one of the biographies of Jesus' life in a book called John, where Jesus says this. I don't know if you can read that. I'm going to say it anyway. John 15, if you want to open it on your Bibles. But I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, there's a lot of stuff that could come up on that little passage alone, but the bit that has got me most recently as I've been reading through this little passage is the bit where Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Like, that is pretty blunt. Like, Jesus is not pulling his punches. And it really rankles me because I think I can do quite a bit of stuff off my own back, to be quite honest. I am a fairly capable woman. I did pretty well at school and at uni. Got a couple of good jobs. I can remember birthdays pretty well. And I think my greatest accolade is that I know the alphabet and sign language, so I think I'm pretty capable. And I know, I'm friends with, work with loads of people who don't know Jesus, don't follow him, don't even believe in God, and they can do loads of stuff too. So when Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing, it's pretty jarring. Kind of makes me question whether I agree with him or not. And this bit, it challenges my thinking and my perspective. It's challenging my preconceived ideas of what it is to do stuff and what it is to be fruitful. Jesus is speaking here into the inbuilt desire for our lives to count for something, to be productive, to be effective, to have meaning and value. And he's saying, that's what you want, and you can't do it without me. He's suggesting, he's claiming that meeting that human, deep human need for life to be productive and worthwhile looks different to what the world might suggest, and is actually found in remaining in him, being pruned and being formed by him. And so that leaves you going, what do you mean? And I'm really glad that Jesus then goes on from this, when left dangling a little, asking, what does that look like? What are you talking about? What kind of fruit are you talking about? Jesus then goes on immediately to say this. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. For all our activities and our creations and our experiences and our achievements and our stuff, this is the real fruit that Jesus is talking about. Loving each other as he has loved us. Laying down our lives for one another. This is what it means and what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. How do we know what we're rooted in and being formed by? We need to check out the fruit. Is it anxiety because of constant social media scrolling? Is it shallow relationships because of a lack of commitment or vulnerability? Is it simply a potty mouth because of all the media and the stuff that we're churning into our brains? Or is it laying down one's life for one another? Is it loving each other as Jesus loved us? Because this is what a church that is like a vineyard should look like. And so, in an effort to kind of understand how we can do that, because that sounds fine and lovely and wonderful, but how do we do that? I just want to hone in on that word, remain. Because it is repeated so often, so you can't read all of that and you're not expected to, but if you can see some little yellow blobs, those little yellow blobs are the word remain. It crops up loads in this passage, and so it's hard not to be curious. And interestingly, all of those words remain come from the same Greek word, which is meno. I am not a scholar, but I did do a little bit of digging. And that word remain has been translated from the same word the whole time. And here are a load of other words that I looked into that are used to describe what that word meno means. You ready? It means to remain. That's what this translation says. To abide. To not leave. To continue to be present. To be held or kept continually. To last or endure. To remain as one. And to not become different from or another. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first saw all of those synonyms, love that word, thank you, primary school, this passage suddenly opens up a whole load. Like, I'm going to take a few of those words and I'm going to replace the remain word translation to see how it lands with you. Do not leave me as I do not leave you. You cannot be fruitful unless you are held or kept continually in me. Those who remain as one with me and I remain as one with them will produce much fruit. If you are not different or other to me and my words are not different or other to you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Continue to be present in my love. If you keep my commands, you will last and endure in my love. And this is my command, love each other. Do you hear that? That richness, that depth, that is really helpful in just expanding our imagination for what it means to remain in him. Like, on the one hand, there's this longevity, like a permanence, a consistency to it, that kind of continue to be present. And then on the other hand, there's this becoming oneness, a kind of relationship, this merging of humanity and God. What if we were to consider our relationship with Jesus in this way, as being continually present with him, as remaining as one, as being held or kept, as never leaving his presence? It's not some kind of once and done situation, but it's a continual state. And it's not like a surprising or accidental situation, but a purposeful practice of choosing to stay connected to the vine, engaged with relationship. And that is the crux of today, that we are to be a people, a community, a church that is like a vineyard because we are like branches continually connected to the vine. That we are a people attached to, being fed and nourished by, who find our very life and our purpose in being with Jesus. We're talking about like a totally other way of being human, of being fed and formed by a totally other life source, producing a totally other type of fruit to that this world has to offer or expects. It's not a sort of like add-on to our life or like a helpful tool to pick up for those difficult times. It's a lifestyle, a continual way of being continually present to our life source, Jesus, that leads to a fuller, richer, fruitful life, living as we're designed to live. It's a lifestyle of allowing the personal love of God to permeate our life, bringing healing, transformation, and a place from which we can truly love and serve each other and those around us. And so we're going to spend the next little amount of time that I'm not going to put a specific time on, coming into land by just thinking about what that practically looks like. How do you actually do this? Like, how do you remain in Jesus? And I think that unless we have ways and practices and rhythms that are part of our lifestyle and become habits, we stay in a place where it's all about our willpower. I must remain in Jesus, just focus, and then I will be there. Or we rely on our emotions or our whims, which I know from experience of people and my own life, change in a moment, don't they? And I say this, that we need practices and rhythms and this lifestyle habits, because I've been thinking about vineyards. And some of you mentioned earlier when we were talking about it, In the modern vineyard now, in the 21st century, you would see a whole load of trellising and support systems of various shapes and sizes and designs, which enable branches to remain connected to the vine and for fruit to form. If our desire is to live life to the full, we must be connected to the vine Jesus, whether our passing emotions feel like it or not. And so wisdom tells us that we need structure and we need support in place to enable us to stay connected continually. And this is nothing new to the Christian life and to wanting to be formed by Jesus. This is old wisdom of people who have followed Jesus and remained in him, being formed by him through the ages over generations. And so I'd like to spend some time expanding our imagination for what these helpful practices and rhythms might be. Because we're a very active church, we're a really servant-hearted church, if that's a phrase that means anything to you. But if this, being connected to Jesus, being rooted and formed by him, is not our foundation, then we are on really rocky ground. We're not going to be able to produce fruit that will last, and we're not going to be able to lay down our lives for one another. And so I thought we'd spend a couple of minutes in little groups chatting about different ways in which we've heard up. Oh, do you know what? They're going to come back soon. We're going to do a shouting out instead. Lauren, would you like to be our scribe? Thanks. We're going to write down some stuff that you were going to talk about, but you're not going to talk about it. We're just going to write it down now. So, anyone fancy being brave and telling me a way that you've heard of, experienced, or regularly do, a practice or a rhythm that you do in order to stay connected to Jesus, whether it's your experience or something you've seen somebody else doing? Praying. Lovely. Resist. Okay. Worship. Can I just ping on that one, because I've got worship specifically written down here. This one is really, that's something that I certainly do. I found it a really good practice and a rhythm, whether I feel like it or not, to choose to say it. There's a song called Raise a Hallelujah, if you don't know it, Google it. And I still can't sing that one without crying, because we chose to sing it over and over and over again with our friends when their baby nearly died for 3 months. We sang it over and over again as a way to stay connected to Jesus in a time of really deep pain. So yes, worship. Celebrate. Yes, I have got feasting down here. Thank you. So one of the things I wanted to say was that staying connected to Jesus doesn't have to look quiet and staid and boring. It doesn't have to be dry. Can you write feasting on there as well? Feasting is absolutely a way of, if you've got your head and your heart in the right place, engaging with the goodness of this world and the delight and delighting in God's provision. So thank you. Spend time in nature. All right. That is a... Journaling. Absolutely. Reading the Bible. Hey up. 50 points to Tim. Absolutely. Again, another one that I just wanted to stop on for a second. I find the Bible quite tricky to read on my own because it's a really old book that there's lots of stuff that I just don't know. And so reading in community is really wonderful and really helpful, but there's also so it's a good way of connecting with Jesus in that moment, but there's also really good wisdom in there of practices that you can put into place throughout your week. So there's one that I was reminded of just this last couple of weeks in a book called Philippians, which is a letter to an early church from a guy called Paul, and he says this: whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. And I have taken that to be one of my rhythms and practices, because whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. And then he goes on to say, I say this to safeguard your faith. So, like, that is a real practice and a thing we can put in place to safeguard our faith, to keep us connected to Jesus, to keep us in line with him, is whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. Okay, any others? A day of rest. If you want the biblical word, it's Sabbath. There you go. Day of rest. Absolutely. Anyone else? I can't hear you. Sorry. Say that. Singing. Lovely. Yes. Oh, seeing. Oh, absolutely. So seeing the effects of God in other people's lives. Absolutely. So I'm going to put that under being part of a community. Absolutely. Going to church. I love that it's taken this long to get to that point. We're all here, guys. Going to church, being part of a home group, being known and being supported and being encouraged by other people who are trying to do the same thing. Because if you're down, another person can pick you up and vice versa. Absolutely. Fasting, yes. If you're going to feast, you can fast. If you're going to fast, you definitely should feast. And so, absolutely, fasting, serving, so giving of your time and energy for others. One more. Go to God before you go to Google. Absolutely, keeping him in at the front of your mind. Thanks, Lauren. I feel like we could probably spend about 10 more minutes just keep going. What do you do? What do you do? So, if you have never connected with Jesus before and you don't know where to start, here is a whole load of things that people have heard about, experienced, do regularly, that can help you on this journey. So, continuing to remain in Jesus doesn't happen by chance. It is an active choice, again and again, day by day, and it takes slow and steady practice and rhythms. Maybe over time we gain a heightened awareness of God's presence and voice and desires because over time we've practiced fasting. Wherever that is. Maybe we have an increasing ability to love and delight in other people and in creation because we have time and time again practiced Sabbath. Maybe we find ourselves being held to our relationship with Jesus by other people when we just don't feel like it or when life gets tough because we're committed to a church community who are committed to us. These are ancient practices that at their core are formational and connect us to Jesus. And so what does it look like for a church to be like a vineyard? It looks like being row upon row upon row of people who are choosing a lifestyle of being connected to and remaining in Jesus. A people who are remaining in the vine and so producing fruit that is totally other to this world's expectations or standards. A people who have a different lifestyle in a different source being formed and molded by Jesus. A people who are not swaying on and off again based on our fleeting moments and our desires, but who are supported and upheld by choices and practices and rhythms to continually remain in him. And so in the last few minutes before the kids come back, I would like to practice one of these things, and I would like to, in community, pray for each other. So, in little groups of the appropriate amount, 4 or 5, I would love to spend the next few minutes praying for each other for this week. What are our core practices that we already do? Is there anything on there that we're curious about or we've dropped off our radar or we'd like to do more of or have never tried? Let's pray for God's blessing and presence with us this coming week as we engage with him.